8:25 as we continue to talk about Francine and remind you to be safe if you are using a generator. That thing cannot run forever, and you are going to have to, when you refill it with gas, let it cool. You're also going to want to make sure that it's properly vented because it does give off carbon monoxide. Whenever you burn any fuel, that happens. We're going to talk to Ghassan Qurban in a little bit, and I see memes on the internet here about, you know, Spider-Man pointing at each other saying, you turn the pumps on, you turn the pumps on, you turn the pumps on. And when it comes to the surge in waterboard, and as we've talked to Joe DiRusso and the governor already with the antiquated system that they have, it is a lot more complicated than just turn the pumps on, because there is the issue of powering the pumps, where that power comes from, redundancy in the system, and to be fair, the rainfall that the city took on and that Jefferson Parish took on, and again, as soon as Ghassan Qurban wraps up his TV interview, I'm sure we'll talk to him. But to be fair, when you get that much rain, there's no way that the city can keep up with it, or any city can keep up with it. That Jefferson Parish had the problems on the East Bank because of the way the rain fell, and that's what Joe DiRusso said earlier, that if you look at, and I'm paraphrasing here, but almost like a Venn diagram, it's like, well, okay, in other flood events, perhaps Jefferson Parish was able to handle it, but Orleans Parish was not. In this case, it overwhelmed both systems, and I'm sure there was some flooding that got into houses in Orleans Parish as well as Jefferson Parish, and you never want to see structures flooded. As far as the National Weather Service goes, and I hate to keep going back to corridors of heavy rain, but they were predicting this as long ago as maybe 2 days or maybe even more, about projections of corridors of heavy rain wrapping around Francine and rainfall estimates of 8 to 12 inches. And in some cases, it may not have gotten that high, but I remember specifically seeing the black-colored ring, the corridor of rain that they were saying could happen, and that's exactly what happened. And the other thing I'll say about Entergy, and we spoke to an Entergy spokesperson as well, and that is that you do have to be a little patient, because we knew that the storm was coming. We knew that the winds were going to be high. We knew that there were going to be power outages. And as a result of that, you can't expect the power to come back on immediately. We're going to try to talk to Paul LaGrange if we get a chance about generator safety, just to give you a reminder. And I would love to hear from you at 504-260-1870. If your house did take on any water, or if the streets, something you saw, an anomaly with the drainage system or something else in Orleans Parish, I'd love to know about it. A text comes in, says, I live off Metairie Road near the Avenue C project. They spent the summer hardening the grid. We lost power around 6, much earlier than surrounding neighborhoods. Somebody else wants to know about the flood wall opening on Peters Road. We'll try to find out about that for you. Good morning, Tommy. Thanks for hanging in there. Can you please take a minute and explain to your younger generation audience what a four-way stop means? Well, the old joke is, for a four-way stop sign, a guy with the junkiest car goes first. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Ideally, I think you yield to the person to the right. Is that the way a four-way stop sign works? But that's only the right of way is only what you, it's not something you have. It's something that people give you. If they don't give it to you, you don't have it. And it's the same thing with a blinking yellow light. A blinking yellow light means slow down. You don't have to stop. But that's presuming that the person that has the blinking light knows that. And if they don't, then you don't have the right of way. So I think you have to presume, again, at every intersection, I don't want to tell you to do the wrong thing on a blinking yellow light because you don't want to stop and get rear-ended, but you just need to be very, very careful. It is 8:29 now on this morning after the night before. As the sunlight comes up and the damage assessments are being done, the authorities are advising you maybe don't drive around, still asking you to conserve water in Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish because of problems with the lift stations. Ghassan Qurban joins us now. I know, Ghassan, you've had a rough couple of days. Thanks for taking the time with us. Good morning.
Of course. Good morning, Tom.
We're going to get into some of the specifics because I was talking earlier, Ghassan, and it's not, you know, it's cute to put a meme on the internet, on Twitter, with a Spider-Man pointing at each other, you turn the pumps on, and people think it's as easy as flipping a switch and turning a pump on, which, if you've been listening to Newell or me or any or you people know that, you should know by now with the system in New Orleans, it's not that simple. First, though, before we get to EMDs and what happened last night with some failures, power failures, given the amount of rainfall, would it have made a difference? That's, I think, the first question that everybody has.
Well, that's a great question, and I think the areas that suffered from some flooding would have flooded regardless. I mean, the amount of rain and the intensity played the biggest role in where water backed up, and that's just a fact. I mean, when you look at the overall condition of the city, we kept up for the most part. Yes, we had some issues, and we'll talk about that. But all in all, when you have 2 to 3 inches of rain in an hour, it just overwhelms any system, and that's exactly what happened. And we know we have areas that are prone to those. There's some low-lying areas. And it wasn't surprising where some of the flooding happened, just because, you know, historically that's where those area floods happen.
And again, to be fair with the National Weather Service, they did predict these corridors of heavy rain a couple of days ago, and you all were aware of that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, we prepare for an inch of rain. We prepare for 12 inches of rain in the same way. I mean, there's really not a lot we can do differently. I talked yesterday and, you know, I told you we have 70 megawatts of power. We had 90 pumps, and that wouldn't have changed whether we're predicting an inch or 10 inches. But honestly, again, it's all about the intensity. I can handle an inch an hour for a long, long time, barring no major breakdown in our equipment. And, you know, this event like yesterday, you know, the intensity, and then we had some minor reliefs in between, but then the tail end of it was pretty, pretty rough.
Tell me about the, and again, you know, there's a very complicated, as Newell said last night, antiquated system that's eligible for Social Security and retirement and everything else. The governor was on earlier talking about doing everything they can to make to harden the system. Again, to recap, just to be clear, it would not have made a difference given the rainfall last night. And now let me go to EMDs. What are those and what happened, Ghassan?
Yeah, and again, you know, I do want to, you know, shy from responsibility, and I will let me maybe explain before we get to the EMDs. You know, when I say we have 70 megawatts of power available, that is all cobbled from about 10 to 12 different sources of power. All right, so the EMDs are five sources that each have they're basically diesel generators, large generators. And they each provide us about 2.5 megawatts each. And there are individual generators, but they also connected to other auxiliary pieces of equipment to make them run. All right, without getting too technical. So there's, you know, multiple auxiliary pieces that they all rely on to work. Outside the EMDs, we have frequency changers where we can bring power from either Entergy or our 60 hertz generators we call T6. We funnel power through those frequency changers to change them down to 25. And then we also have the two larger turbines that we talked about yesterday, T4 and T5. And they're able to produce about 20 megawatts each of 25 hertz. So if you cobble those together, we have plenty of power. Now, at the beginning of a storm, we decide, you know, what kind of configuration and what do we use for what pumping stations. And that's, you know, to kind of create some diversity or diversification and just kind of redundancy in the system. So yesterday we started off with relying on, our turbine, T5, and T4, some frequency changer, as well as the five EMDs. And the five EMDs were supplying three different pumps at three different stations. And we had one common piece of equipment that failed, an auxiliary generator that failed, that caused all five to go down. And then when that happens, then you lose all the pumps that were relying or were being powered by the EMDs. Three different stations, and I think all in all, maybe five or six pumps that we were able to, you know, either find another pump to stand and, you know, to back another down pump, or waited to work on restoring the power with the EMDs.
Turbine four, at some point, the one that was repaired, kicked in, Ghassan, and
yes.
Did that make up for the loss of the EMDs?
Well, eventually, that's what we ended up doing, is we ended up moving the pumps that were using the EMDs to T4, which was already online and supporting multiple other pumps throughout the system.
So, I guess
it did its part, and that's the redundancy that we're speaking about. You know, what's lost on people, though, is that transfer takes time.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you have you're dealing with electricity and something we call a bus, where you know you have specific lines coming through a certain configuration and dispatched to different pumps. So to realign those and switch is not an easy task, and it, you know, we have to be very intentional about how we do it, you know, as not to cause other issues. So that's what happened yesterday, is we were able to move over about five or six pumps from the EMDs to T4.
So
and that's where we were able to, you know, lower the levels in canals and on the streets.
You're an engineer, and I'm trying to make this understandable for me and everybody else. And I know, you know, when Milwaukee you came from, didn't you?
Yes.
And it was a completely, not, it was apples and oranges from what they had there to what they have here. Accurate?
Oh, big difference. You know, one is relies on gravity 100%. You know, it rains, the water goes through a catch basin and the pipe, and daylight's in the river or some stream. No mechanical involvement at all. I mean, versus 100% mechanical drainage system. I mean, hundreds of moving parts. You're relying on a feeder. You're relying on a relay. You're relying on, you know, a pump. You're relying on a generator. There's so many parts that go into a successful full operation like last night.
So I guess to get back to where we started here, with an inch the first hour, is that accurate, we said? And then how does it work again?
Yeah.
Inch first hour.
I mean, basically, the rule of thumb is about an inch an hour for the first inch. And then because of the saturation of soil, then you, obviously there's more runoff. Then it's in half an inch per hour for an hour thereafter.
So factoring that in, you know, Ghassan, with some loss or time that it takes to switch over to alternative power when something fails like the EMDs, I guess the bottom line question is, did that cause a delay? Did that cause, when the EMDs went out, did that cause, and then you lost the pumps at the stations, did that cause any extra water to build up, or would that have built up anyway because you were still going at an inch for the first hour and then a half an inch an hour thereafter? Or is it that simple?
Accurate. I think the impact was more in the rate of lowering the water down or pumping it down. I truly don't believe that we caused any water to build up. But it took us a little longer to drain those flooded streets. I really believe that. I mean, we're going to do an after action report and, you know, validate all that. But I truly believe, based on looking at the numbers and elevations of canals, we did not cause the water to go up. But it took us a little longer to drain it.
That's what I was going to ask. So the level didn't get any higher, but once it rose, it just took longer to clear it.
That's accurate, yes.
All right. Anything else you want to add, Ghassan, before we let you go? I know you're busy.
Well, in the meantime, you know, we do have an issue with one major sewer station where we had a failure, an internal failure. It's on us that is causing that Station D to not operate. So we're asking people to conserve water. You know, don't do dishes. Don't run your dishwasher. Don't run your large appliances. Take shorter showers if you can for the time being. We're looking for a interim fix or permanent fix as soon as possible.
When you said that's on us, what does that mean?
I mean, it's internal issue that, you know, we had a part that failed and actually caught fire. It was a small piece, but it was significant that it rendered the entire pumping station inoperational. So now we're in the interim using vac trucks to maintain a certain level as to avoid any backup sewers in streets or homes.
And what area is that? Or is it specific?
Predominantly Lakeview, Gentilly, predominantly. We're asking everybody to conserve, but those are the areas where there's either an outage from Entergy where the actual single, you know, individual pumping stations are not working, or where they flow to D and D sends the water or the flow into the waste treatment plant, water treatment plant. So that is the bottleneck, which we're trying to fix as soon as we can.
And this is about lift stations and getting sewage out, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Ghassan. I appreciate your time. I do. We'll talk to you again soon. Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the Sewage and Water Board. I hope we helped you understand that a little bit. This is an antiquated system. This is a very fragile system, as Noel Norman said last night. It only takes one little thing to go wrong, and then it's, you know, kind of like dominoes. But I do think what is important now is that you conserve water in Orleans.